Thank you, Brother Jeremy. Hallelujah. We're welcoming visitors today. It's good to have you with us in the house of the Lord. And be sure to greet them afterwards, introduce yourself and so forth. It's great to have new folks come. We have some folks traveling for the Christmas season and all kinds of other reasons to be out, but we're glad you're here. Hallelujah. And we're glad you brought your friends with you. So especially for events like Community Table and our dinner today, to bring folks with you is always a welcome thing, okay? Just keep inviting folks. Turn to somebody and say, they got good stuff here. So don't be afraid to invite somebody. Amen. We won't hurt you. Generally, you'll feel better when you leave than when you come. Amen. Praise the Lord. Will you turn with me in your Bibles, please, to Luke chapter 2. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the Spirit of God that's here today. We thank you for the angel of the Lord and other ministering spirits who are ministering with us and for us today, who are the heirs of salvation. We just bless you, Lord, and thank you that when we gather in your name, you're there in the midst of us, and you're right here, Jesus. Help lips of clay speak oracles of God and work that miracle behind the pulpit here as you do all over the world. Every time someone stands up and says, I'm going to read from the Word of God, speak from the heart of the Father, you do a marvelous thing. You cause words to be as your words. I ask you to do that again today, Lord, in Jesus' name and for your glory, Lord. Amen. Amen. Luke chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. This is a familiar verse to you, I believe. The angel of the Lord has come to the shepherds by night, and he's got a message for them. And it says in verse 10 of Luke 2, and the angel of the Lord said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born today, there's born rather to you this day, in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. The Word of God is so rich and powerful. There's so much in these two verses. I could stay here for 3 days and preach on everything that's in here. First of all, it would be good to preach on the angel of the Lord bringing messages. How many believe the angels are here? Amen. We're in an innumerable company of angels, the book of Hebrews tells us. We've come to church, the church of the firstborn. Amen. And just men made perfect, and women too, I believe. And there's angels here. We could preach on that. We could preach on the don't be afraid part. You know, don't be afraid when the things of God show up. Like we had a worship service today and God showed up. It's time to jump into that and not run away from it. Amen. Go ahead and get into what the things of God are. We could preach on the good tidings of great joy to all people. We could preach on the son that's born to you. We could go back to Isaiah 9, right? Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. Amen? And the government will rest on his shoulders. You know, he's got a name that's wonderful, and counselor and so forth. I mean, there's lots to preach on in this verse if you look at it. You could preach on the city of David, the place chosen by the Lord. It still is. The throne of David, which rests in the earth, right? The throne upon which we are the body of Christ until he comes again, ruling and reigning with him. We could preach on the Savior. Oh, wow. We could preach on that, the doctrine of Christ for a long time, right? The Savior, the Christ, was a sacrifice for all of our sins. And we could preach on that for a while. We could go over then preach on that the Lord has come. the Lord of all. He's not only the slain, but he's the King. Man, the slain Lamb of God and the King of Kings. So we got a lot we could preach on here. But there's food waiting for us. There's fellowship waiting. And I'm the only thing between you and your food. So I'm not a foolish pastor. I'm a wise servant of the Lord today. And I'll bring a message just long enough for you to get your hunger up, and then we'll take a meal together, as my grandfather used to say. Let's take a meal together, Ron. Amen. So I've got to choose one. So what I'm going to choose is I'll choose the one that I think the Lord is choosing today. It's always good to choose the one he's on, right? And I believe his message for us today is in that phrase, good tidings of great joy, which will be. Good tidings of great joy, which will be. The angel says, I have good news for you. I have great joy, which will be. Great joy that is being birthed today. And I believe right now God has begun by his Spirit to birth in you a hope you didn't have. Right now he's resurrecting a vision that has died. He's bringing again faith to believe the thing which you didn't see, you will now see. I believe hope is being birthed today. And the hope that is being birthed today, right here, right now, is not a feeling. It's a person. His name is Jesus. Hope is Jesus, who is our Savior, Christ for our sins, and Lord for our lives. What he told me this morning in prayer is he says, I am both Christ and Lord. I am that eternal sacrifice for sins. And I am the eternal living Lord of all things. We're having a hope birthed in us, a living hope, who is able to clean up our past. His blood covers our sins. There's a blood curtain I can pull down on my past and leave it back there. And it can't get through the blood to catch up with me again. There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunge beneath the flood and lose all their guilty stains. Hallelujah. He said, take up your cross daily and follow me. There's a time every day to go to the Lord and renew your covenant with him. Say, Lord, I know that I've sinned and come short of the glory of God because I can see I'm a little short on glory. I'm not only a little short, I'm short on glory. There's a glory to walk in that I have not yet seen. The glory I'm in is a great glory. I understand that. But Father, there's something I can repent of. There's something I can turn from. There's some way I can search out more of you and walk worthy of the calling that you have called me to. He is the Christ, the hope that our past can be dealt with. Some of us have a wagon load of stuff, you know. And it's tied to us, and we just can't hardly get to our destiny, our future. But thank God there's a sure nail. There's a pin in that wagon hitch. His name is Jesus. Forgiveness. Hope. And he can just pull the pin on that thing. Right now, Father, if somebody's got something they're dragging around in their life, just pull the pin on it right now. I release you from judgments against you as a priest in the house of the Lord. I mean, no, we've been made kings and priests unto him. Amen. We're in his image. Let's activate the priesthood in us and be forgiving Announce the forgiveness. Turn to somebody and say, thy sins are forgiven by the blood of Jesus. And I'm pulling the pin on your past. You're free. You're free. Freedom. Hallelujah. The blood of Jesus is alive and speaking from heaven today. Amen. He is our hope of our present time of need. We have entrance to a throne of grace where we can seek and find mercy to help in time of need. The mercy of the Lord endures forever. His mercy endures forever. His mercy endures forever. Jehoshaphat's army sang that. His mercy endures forever. And when they sang that, the Lord came, blasted out the enemy, and gave them the land. Hallelujah. It's time for you to take possession of those things promised to you. His mercy endures forever. God will work in your present. And he's our future hope at the same time. Isn't that wonderful about Jesus? He's the same in our yesterday. He's the same in our today. He's the same in our tomorrow. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, the writer of Hebrews tells us in Hebrews 13:8. He is our living hope. Our hope is alive from the dead. Can't be killed anymore. How many have Christ within him? You've invited Jesus into your heart. He's in there by his spirit, right? His physical body's in heaven. Jesus physically at the right hand of the Father. But the spirit of Christ is in us. Christ is in us. The eternal sacrifice and the living Lord is in us. You need to begin to believe what the Bible says. You've been born again unto a lively hope, Peter says. Christ in us is a hope of glory. There's hope for me, folks. Keep praying for me. I'll get there. I promise you, I'm still on my way. You just keep praying. Your little preacher man will get there. Amen. In Psalms, David says in Psalm 107, he says, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the assembly of the people and praise him in the company of the elders. The righteous shall see it and rejoice. Are you seeing anything today? Are you rejoicing with me today in what we've seen? The angel of the Lord came and said, behold, you know, take a look. Look around. I'm bringing you tidings of great joy, good tidings. It says the righteous will see it and rejoice, and it says iniquity stops its mouth. There's nothing can stop the mouth of the devil more than your praise of what God is doing in your life. If you hear any voice against the Christ, if you hear an antichrist voice, and believe me, there's lots of them in the world today. You can either turn on your Bible or turn on TV. What's it going to be? You know, we need to get the word of God down deep in our heart. We need to release the praise of God for what he is and is doing and will do. And that praise needs to quiet the mouth of the enemy. I believe that's Psalm 8:2, that praise will silence the enemy. Whatever the enemy's doing, turn up the praise. And when you turn up the praise, iniquity has to shut up. Amen. Goes on to say in the Psalm 107:43, it says, whoever is wise will observe these things. In other words, if you're wise, you can see what's going on. The pure in heart see God. What do you see? Oh, Lord, there's evil here and evil there. You know, there's a booger behind every bush. Well, you need to get a pure heart. Begin to see God. There may be a devil behind a bush, but there's more angels with us than with them. And God's given us power to cast out devils and release the kingdom of God wherever we go. We need to begin to believe the Bible. So the old brother Hagen one time, you know, he laid hands on me in 1978. And ever since then, I've been able to mimic him and say a lot of things he said the way he says them. It's a funny thing. I don't know. You got to watch who you hang around, because what's on them gets on you. Amen. So watch out. The joy that's on me today is going to sneak up on you. It's going to get on you. Amen. Hallelujah. Just thank God for the joy of the Lord. Amen. I'm having a fun time up here. I hope you are out there. Glory to God. The wise will observe these things, and they will understand the loving kindness of the Lord. That loving kindness, that's an awesome word. I don't know, you ought to go look it up sometime. It's a Hebrew word. Hasid is the name of it. So you will understand the hasid of the Lord, the loving kindness of the Lord. It is God's faithful action, love, word. He promised a covenant relationship. The hasid of God, the loving kindness, is expressed in his persistent, relentless, unconditional tenderness, kindness, and mercy to us. Amen. A relationship in which he seeks after you and me with love and mercy. Hasid expresses both God's loyalty to his covenant and his love for his people, along with a faithfulness to keep all his promise to us. Amen. Thy loving kindness is better than life, David said. It's amazing loving kindness. He's just waiting for you and I to turn from our sins and our self-life. I mean, no, you don't get the kingdom unless you repent and believe God, right? So that something got to stop happening and something got to start happening in your life. And you need to choose life. You need to get right and stay right. Amen? But when you turn to the Lord, you remember Moses was walking along and he saw a burning bush. And it wasn't unusual for a bush to burn in those days, but it was burning. And it kept on burning. And it kind of caught his eye. And the Bible says when he turned, God spoke. You and I are going to have to turn to the Lord in order to hear him speak. Well, I don't know, Brother Ron. The Lord hadn't said anything to me lately. You need to turn. It's just it. It's when you seek me, you'll find me. Call the nation to repentance. Call the city to repentance. Call the church to repentance. Call yourself to repentance. Develop a lifestyle of turning into where the burning is. And find the passion of the Lord. Abraham sitting by the tent, and the angels of the Lord walks by. Well, you can just let him walk on by. Or you can do what Abraham did. What did he do, Belinda? He ran after him. He ran after him. It's time for us to run after the Lord. Stand up when the praise is going on if you can. If you can't, sit down and wave your hanky. Amen. You know, but do something to demonstrate to the Lord you're a diligent seeker. The book of Hebrews says, he that comes to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He doesn't reward the brightest bulb on the tree. You know, he doesn't. He's not impressed with how much you've learned or how much you know. Is, are you diligently seeking me? You know, you can hear God's voice, learn a bunch of stuff, and then go out on your own in what you know, and the word will work. But you've left God behind. John 8:12 says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me, follows the voice of God, follows the word of God, listening to the commandments and the voice of God, will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. There's a release. Say release.
Release.
Release of the voice of God in this age as never before. There's an outlandish supply of revelation if you'll turn to the Lord. He'll speak. He'll make sense of what's going on. The word of knowledge will come to you. The word of wisdom will come to you. Signs, wonders, miracles will come into your life because God will begin to speak to you as he did our forefathers. He's not changed. For believers in Jesus, Christmas is all the time. You know, Christmas is the time of the year when just before the new year, we have chosen to celebrate the coming of Jesus. He's probably born in the spring, but we've chosen to celebrate around the darkest time of the year. It's all right with me. Hallelujah. Amen. And to replace heathen things with believer things. It's good to sanctify a day, isn't it? Any old day you can sanctify. You can say, this is the day the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. And the birth of Jesus brought us new hope, a living hope, an eternal hope, to all of us. Our hope is a person. Don't lose hope. Because your hope didn't die. You just lost sight of it. You need to discover again. You need to uncover. You need to discover hope. Because he's in you. Pastor Belinda and I shared recently about how the Lord worked in our lives to bring us together last year in 2018. After we had both been made single by trauma of our spouses going on early to be with the Lord. Hers in 2012, and her Jim passed away in 2012, and my Mary went on to be with the Lord in 2015. We met last year, and it's a story of trusting the Lord with our lives and allowing God to do something new. Say something new.
Something new.
God did something new for us. And it's good. Every day God created in Genesis at the end, he said, it's been a good day. God wants to plant and revive and minister a hope to you today that he's going to create new days for you. Tomorrow's going to be better. It's going to be a good day. Today's going to be a good day. Oh, you might as well start right now. Hallelujah. Just start right now, God. Create a good day. For all those who are trapped in sorrow, all those that have had things die, all those who are visions have been dead and buried, he's going to resurrect them, transform them, make you a new day, a new appointment. Hope is an appointment on your heart calendar for a day of rejoicing. God will give you hope today. Hallelujah. It involves letting go of the old. And while being very thankful and respectful of what was, which I am, and Belinda is, we must at the same time look to the Lord for what he wants to do next. We've all been through trauma, trial, tribulations that are so deeply wounding that we don't think we're going to live again. You don't think you can breathe again. And it's in the midst of that that God wants to birth a new hope for a new tomorrow, for a better day. This time you're going to make it. This time you're going to make it. This time is going to be okay. It's going to be better. And God will give you a way of thinking about the injuries and the trauma. One thing he told me just recently. He said, what is going on in your life, Ron, that 10,000 years from now with me and all the saints ruling and reigning in the new heaven and new earth will not be resolved? And I was like, well, I can't really think of anything that in the eternity to come, which is eternity now. How many have eternal life now? Okay, we're living eternally right now. So he says to me, what is there that Colossians 1:20 can't take care of, that through the blood of his cross, he has reconciled all things, whether they be things in heaven or things in earth. God has reconciled all that stuff you're worried about, All that stuff you're concerned about. All that stuff, usually it concerns the choices of other people that have disappointed us. It's time to let that go into the hope of the Lord and say, Lord, your word is at work in my life, creating hope. When you hear from the enemy, you hear about three things. I'll have Belinda share them with you.
Oh. Hopelessness, helplessness, and hope deferred. Helplessness, hopelessness, or hope deferred. That is not God. Nope. You resist it, and you don't receive it.
Say this with me. I reject hopelessness, helplessness, and hope deferred. You know, hope deferred will make the heart sick. So I'm not having that. He's here to heal the brokenhearted. If you're here to heal the brokenhearted, then I'm not going to be brokenhearted. I'm going to be healed. And I reject rejection. If you want to reject me, sorry, you're out of luck. Because I reject rejection. Hallelujah. I refuse to have it. I'm not in it. I'm not into rejection. That's not my style. Amen. I'm not into hopelessness. I'm not into helplessness. My help comes from the Lord. The Holy Ghost has come. The Comforter's come. The Paracletos, the Helper, he's come alongside to help me. I have all the help I need. Hallelujah. And I sure ain't hopeless because Jesus is my hope. Are you hungry yet? Okay. Hope. If I keep talking about hunger, you'll get hungry. If you preach whatever, you preach the root to have the fruit. So you got to watch what you preach or you're going to get the fruit of it. Amen. Hope is the rope by which God pulls us into our future. Your hope is a very real hope, rope to hold on to. It's his message to you today. A word of good tidings, of great joy, which shall be. Tidings of joy, which shall be. I picked that little phrase right out of those two verses. Actually, the Lord did, but when I stand up here, I get to brag that I did it, so that's good. The hope rope that you're hanging on to, this hope is very tangible. You can't see it with the physical eye, but you can sure sense it with a spiritual heart. And it comes by a promise from God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. If you trust God, when you turn to that burning bush, his eyes are as flame of fire, his hair like wool, his feet like burning brass. That's the Jesus we turn to. He's on fire for you. He has a jealous love for you. He loves you more than you understand or know. There's a height, depth, width, and breadth of the love of God that's coming to you right now as I speak. There's a comprehension. I'm imparting a comprehension of the love of God, the hasid, the loving kindness of the Lord that will cause you to turn to that bush that burns. He's a fourth man in the fire who can't be burned. He is that Savior announced, the hope, great, this is tidings of great joy. It's time for us to move into great joy. Not just be joyful, but like out of my skin joy. Jumping for joy at 72. Amen. Hallelujah. The other day I got to preaching and jumping, and we rode home an hour in the car. I opened the door. Oh, I could barely. I said, oh my goodness. I need the anointing again, Lord. I did good in the anointing. I need to stay in the anointing. It's either ibuprofen or anointing, one of the two. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of the Lord. Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. If you have a promise, if you have a prophecy that's been given to you, it's good. It's as good as done. Just hold on. Let him pull us into that. A word of prophecy given to you about your future looks through your doubts. It looks through your fears. It looks through the situation that now is. It looks past your past and any curses that tried to be on your life. I'll tell you, God is greater than any weakness we have. Prophetic words, like I'm speaking today about hope, when I speak about them, I look right through all your weaknesses, doubts, fears, and I prophesy hope is coming to your life in such remarkable portion that God is going to do something very remarkable in your life soon and very soon. And people will know that your God is the God, the only one true and wise God. He's the God of the Bible, and he's the only God. And they'll come to your brightness, because you'll arise and shine, because your glory, the glory of the Lord has risen on you. And they'll come to the glory. There is a word of prophecy to you, in which if you will turn it into a decree, it will be established and light will shine on your path. I did an activation yesterday with a group over in Kalamazoo. I was privileged to speak to a group over there. And the activation I gave them was, I said, I want you to take a moment, pray in other tongues, and think about what is the most important prophecy given to you right now. And as they thought of that, I said, now, so that's a promise to you. One of them was that they would go to the nations and share the gospel in the nations. And I said, well, you read me your prophecy. How do you turn your prophecy into a decree that it might be established and that the way to walk it out would be revealed? They said, what do you mean? I said, well, Job 28:22 says, you shall decree a thing. How do kings rule and reign? By decree. Huh, okay. So it's, he says there, you'll decree a thing and it will be established. So just by saying, I agree with the prophetic word over me, and speaking it, it's established. And then it says, light will shine on your path. That kind of goes with John 8:12. I'm the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. I know which step to take next by hearing from the Lord. But it comes after I decree and it's established. So take your hope in the prophetic words that have been spoken over you and the inclinations and hunches that you have. You know, we say we have ears to hear, eyes to see, and a heart to perceive the word of God. My sheep hear my voice. David said it this way, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Jesus said it this way, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. So there's a way we can walk out of depression, up a set of stairs into the light. There's a way we can walk out of addictions into freedom. There's a way. It's a discipline. It's a doing what God is telling us to do and acting in a way God is telling us to act. And he says in Job 28:22, just go ahead and decree a thing and I'll establish it. If it's my word to you, you can count on it and you can speak it and I'll establish it. Lately, we've been reading over in Ezekiel about the proverb that says, nothing's going to happen, nothing's going to come to pass. And God is reflecting and saying, no, if I said it, it's going to come to pass. Every vision will not fail. The vision of God will come to pass. Hope is an appointment on your life calendar put there by a promise from God concerning a future event which is related to your heart's desire that will result in a great joy and rejoicing. Hope is the time appointed in our future that a desire of our heart will be fulfilled. And I'm hearing from the Lord right now. Their stomachs are growling. So I'll close with one more verse. God has a sense of humor. If you haven't figured that out yet, you should go home and look in the mirror. Amen. So I'm sorry, I couldn't help that. That just popped out. That was not the oracle of God. That just popped out. Popped into my mind and popped out of my mouth. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Will you stand with me, please? Are you ready to receive the hope of God right now? Father, I thank you for the ability to impart to your people a spiritual gift. I thank you that you've planted within my heart a revelation that hope is mine and hope is theirs. And this day is born to them tidings of great joy, which will be. And I release right now, I release by my own words, your word in my mouth. I release to them the promise of great hope in Jesus Christ within them. Let the Christ in them speak hope in this day. Let it speak a better tomorrow. Let it speak to the trauma and hurts and pains and trials and say, "Be comforted, O soul. Rejoice in me. I am that faithful God, and I will deliver on my promise to you." I thank you, Lord, especially now for all of the children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. I feel a special confirmation of hope that your word is in them working, and that your word will not depart out of my mouth or the mouth of my seed or my seed's seed from henceforth forevermore. That is the Lord's promise to you. Just say that. If you have children, just say, "The word of God's working in my children to bring them to the future that God has ordained for them. And I trust you, Lord, for it. It is my covenant with you, and it's your covenant with me. I thank you for your loving kindness to my family. In Jesus' name, amen." Amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming. Father, we thank you for the food that we're about to receive. We ask for you to sanctify it according to your word and prayer. Bless it to our bodies and us to your service, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Hallelujah.